Good morning. Thanks, Bonnie. Welcome to First Baptist this morning. Our prayer is that this hour will be an hour of worship, one filled with joy, inspiration, time to be vulnerable, and a time of connection. You'll find in your bulletin the connection card. We invite you to take a moment to fill that out sometime during the service today. When the offering plate comes by, you can stick it in there. You'll find some opportunities on the back for next steps. Some I want to mention today. We'll have our second hour adult formation time. Ashley Mangrum will be sharing about a woman who helped raise her mother in rural Alabama. It will be a treat to hear about Maddie Mae Duff, so we're excited for that. We hope you will stay. That's after fellowship time at 11:30 in the lounge. During that time, there's programming for children and youth, so everybody has something cool to go to. You'll also see on the back of your connection card the Mindfulness and Compassion Workshop, and that's coming up a week from today. It's led by ICPJ, Interfaith Council for Peace and Justice, and also Mindful City Ann Arbor. And you'll find a flyer in your bulletin about that, too. This is a chance to be with like-minded folk who are engaged in confronting injustice and remembering why we do it and learning some strategies to stay grounded in the work we do. Kevin and I will be there, and we hope that you will join us and other members of our church and of in the area who will be attending. Child care is also provided for that, so we hope that that works for you to join us. More information there about how to register for that event. We also have another event coming up in our congregational life that you'll find in your bulletin on Election Day. There's more than one way to make a difference. We encourage you to vote, and before you vote or after you vote, we encourage you to attend this gathering to volunteer at Food Gatherers. It's a great opportunity for all ages, if you're over five. So five and up, you're invited to join us there. There are two sessions, one in the morning, 9 to 11, and one from 1 to 3. And we'll be sorting produce. So it is something that everybody can do. We're getting the produce ready to then be brought to our local food banks. You can sign up at the information counter today on the hard copy sign up, or there's a link you'll get in your newsletter this week. We're looking to have a robust group both in the morning and in the afternoon, so please do sign up for that. Now let us settle into a posture of worship, getting ready to sing our praise and ready to receive God's love and forgiveness. Let's get ready.
Thank you. You have created us and loved us throughout our lives, so that we might grow up to tell the world of your gracious deeds. And we thank you for leading us through journeys we will never forget. You created the peacock to show all its feathers as a sign of beauty, and the cheetah spots for camouflage, so that it may eat. Fill us with knowledge so that we might know to choose the path of righteousness when the time comes. We ask this in the name of the Holy Christ. Amen.
Oh.
high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he had suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Creator God, we miss the mark. Individually, as the church, as a nation, we are missing the mark. May we feel the weight and impact of our self-centeredness. We ask for your forgiveness for the things we have done and the things we have left undone. We feel your pull on our hearts and our minds as you draw us nearer to you, evolving into all you have created us to be, a people who bear your image. We give thanks for the life and the love of your Son, Jesus, who has shown us the way. The way to follow and the way to lead. Give us servant hearts to be outward focused. May we build others up, welcome others in, and serve others first. Lord, we want to be an outward focused people. As we move closer to the end of this election season, help us to see you. We want to see your face as we make informed decisions. We want to see your face as we canvass in our neighborhoods. We want to see your face as we vote. And we want to see your face in our leaders. We ask for your Holy Spirit to work in the lives of those we love who are in need of healing in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for Jean Evey, Wilma Duke, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Mary Margaret Hatt, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Stacy Simpson Duke, Juanita Dearley, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lynn, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Marissa Alanese. We pray for Cindy Harrison and Ashley Kearns and their family. For Jim, Al, Jennifer, and Mike. For Gloria, the Colbreth family, Rebecca Levinson, Fiona, David, Nee. For the family of Vicki Janert. For Bob Barnes and Nancy Kirsch. For the migrant caravan, for John Wallace, John Rice and family, and the Jones family, for Robert Whitney, for Jen, and for Pat Murphy. And now in silence, we offer the longings of our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit and renew the face of the earth. And now, following Jesus' lead, we pray using the words he prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please stand in body or in spirit for the reading of the gospel, this reading from the Gospel of Mark, follows a moment when Jesus has told his disciples for the third time that they are headed for Jerusalem, where he will be arrested, tortured, and put to death. Following those words, we read this. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" They said, "Grant us to sit one at your right and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We're able." He said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I'm baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant. It is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The word of the Lord. Please be seated, and it's my pleasure now, as the rest of us sing, to invite the children forward.
This week, I was playing indoor soccer with a whole bunch of my friends, and I play defense. That means I try hard to make sure other people don't score goals. But guess what happened this week? I actually scored a goal. It was a miracle. This doesn't happen. It's very strange. And I connected with the ball, and I kicked it in the goal, and you know what? I thought, oh, I've never planned my victory dance. I've never scored a goal before, so this was a big deal. I don't do that very often, and I just thought, oh, now I gotta have a dance. This is so exciting. Well, I cheered and I hooted and hollered. My team giggled because that was a kind of a funny thing to do. And then we got back, and I sat on the bench, and I thought, you know why I scored a goal? Because my friend Jamie is really good at passing the ball. So it wasn't really about the goal I scored. That was pretty lucky, actually. It was more about that Jamie got the assist. She passed the ball at just the right place. She had her head up, so she was looking to see where we were. And she made that happen. So I was thinking about that this week, because it's fun to get a goal. And I was thinking about Jamie, how grateful I was for Jamie passing the ball. And I thought, that's kind of like who Jesus is. Jesus talks about what it means to be a leader. In the story we heard Pastor Paul read, and in the reading Katarina did, it was about what is a leader like. So Jesus came not to score the goal, but to pass the ball. That's the kind of leader Jesus is. Jesus didn't come to draw attention to himself. Jesus came to celebrate others' gifts. Jesus didn't try to figure out who should sit at the best and fanciest spot that he thought he should sit at the table? No. Jesus pulled the chair out for others to sit. Remember when we talked about how Jesus always does the opposite thing we think? It's the kind of king Jesus is. I love that. Jesus doesn't try to be first. Jesus talks about being last. Jesus doesn't say, come serve me. Jesus serves others. Jesus didn't come to be the most powerful. Jesus came to empower others, which means help build others up to be leaders. So this is what it's all about. And I invite you to think this week about being the one who passes the ball. It's so tempting to want to be the one who scores the goal and who has a great dance afterwards to celebrate. But it's really about being the one who passes the ball. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the leader you have given us in Jesus. Help us remember that it's almost always the opposite way. Jesus' way is almost always the opposite way than the way we first think. Help us to be ones who pass the ball in all parts of our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
with me, please. Now, gracious God, may your Spirit be in these words spoken. May your Spirit be in our hearing, our receiving, and our living as Christ has called us to live. Amen. It has always been a comfort to me how often the Gospels depict the disciples of Jesus as dummies. Over and over, the people closest to him are idiots. Makes me feel better about myself. It shows that there is hope for dummies. And God can use the clueless in spite of themselves. It also shows that the teaching of Jesus may not be as simple as some people like to say. Certainly, it isn't so easy. He specialized in saying things that left his followers scratching their heads and having their foolishness exposed for them to see and then to change. Case in point. On three occasions, he tells them that soon he will suffer and die. First time he says it, Peter replies, "Not gonna happen." Second time he says, "I'll suffer and die," immediately they get into an argument among themselves over which of them is the greatest. The third time he says it, "I'm about to be arrested and tortured and executed." Next thing we see, Peter and John come trotting up and say, "When you enter your glory, can one of us sit at your right and the other on your left?" He has to hang his head. Oy. He says, "You don't know what you're talking about. Can you drink the cup that I must drain to the bitter dregs? Do you think you can be baptized in the flood that's about to swallow me up?" They say, "No problem." In their defense, they're young. Did you know that at least some of the disciples were likely teenagers? Teenagers. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, youth minister. When the others found out that James and John had asked for the prize, they were furious, most likely because they had had their eyes on it too. But why? Why are any of them asking for something like this? Is there any other explanation other than stupidity as to why these guys want to be enthroned beside Jesus? Actually, there is. They and their people were oppressed in the blood-sucking grip of the Roman Empire, and the local leaders too were corrupt, collaborating with despots, a few very powerful, very rich men getting more powerful and more rich, while the poor sank deeper and into hopelessness, and good people were mocked. It was an evil time. And if you cared at all, you could hope only for the sweeping away of all of that to make a better country, a better world. And surely God would do that. God would raise up someone, a chosen one, the Messiah, who would work wonders and lead the oppressed, cast out the oppressors. He would tell those smug, pompous bullies and liars, "Just shut up." He'd take away their power, replace it with himself, and make it right. There would be justice, compassion, truth, and rejoicing at long, long last. What the disciples are saying is, when you do that, just let us be at your side. Let us have the power with you to make things right. How could they not want that? How could they not believe that Jesus would conquer a world that really needs conquering? The unjust, the arrogant. That's why they couldn't hear him when he told them he was going to be beaten and nailed to a cross and die. Imagine the chosen one saying, "We're marching on the enemy now to engage in the battle, and I will lose." They can't hear that because it makes no sense. The Messiah is not a loser. The Messiah wins and takes the throne to rule with justice. And oh, we want to be part of that righteous rule right by his side in that kind of glory. He says, "Come here. You are asking to be like the other rulers of this world. You know how they do. They lord it over everybody else, and their great ones are tyrants. You think you want to do good, but you're going at it like they do. You must be nothing like that. You want to be great? Then you be a servant. Whoever of you wants to be great must be a slave, a servant of all. I didn't come to be put on a throne and be served. I am here to be a servant. And I will give my life to set many people free." We forget what an astonishment he was to those he thought was the Christ. What a scandal he turned out to be. So much power in him, so much promise of greatness, and yet they kept finding him hanging out with losers, visiting people with leprosy and touching them with healing hands, and talking for hours with the poor, hugging children to himself, listening to women and lifting them up, washing the feet of his friends. And think about this for a moment. Our faith says that Jesus came to reveal to us what God is really like. And this was the revelation: that the sovereign source of the impossibly vast universe, the one who inhabits all space and time, eternal and holy, creator and ruler and judge of all, is a servant of all creation and comes also to us, God Almighty, to serve us in all our mortal need for help and care. Presumptuous to think so? Possibly. But there is Jesus, the servant, whose life and death and rising reveal what God what God is like. And if we're the people of Jesus, that is what we will choose above all to be like. Each of us an intentional servant. All of us together, a fellowship of servants to each other, to the world. And if there's to be any greatness among us, it will be and always must be the greatness of serving. That word great has enjoyed quite the spotlight in recent times. So many people in those bright little red caps with letters across the front, M-A-G-A, they say MAGA, and the G stands for great, make America great again. Well, Jesus is clear on what that would look like. To be a great nation would mean to be a servant nation. A nation finds its greatness in the humility of attending to the most vulnerable, showing compassion and care for the people who need it most. And so we can make it our prayer, O God, make us great. And you probably didn't notice, but many of us came right into church today wearing our own kind of those little red caps. You didn't notice because they're invisible. And they don't say M-A-G-A. They say M-M-G-A. M-M-G-A. Make me great again. Oh, Lord, make me great. Let me succeed. Let me be okay. Let me have what I want and manage what I want to manage and control whom I need to control. Let me be appreciated and liked and loved and looked up to. Let me at least feel good about myself. Let me be that great. Such wishes may not in themselves be so bad. The problem is where such wishes locate the center of what our lives are orbiting around. We orbit around ourselves. Listen to James and John. Teacher, we want you to do what we ask you to do for us. Grant us to be great. Do you see it? What a closed loop that is, how it goes no place, how it never, ever opens to something larger, to the possibility of discovery, of mystery, or true adventure. It doesn't open outward to others, not really. What's more, to make the self our center is fundamentally not honest, because it notices no larger world that matters. It presumes there are no others out there worthy of us, or a life spent small as if there were no ultimate source. Sublime love worth losing ourselves into. So it has rightly been said, all who find their center in themselves are on their way to madness, and indeed are already a little mad. So Jesus says, with such kindness, follow me into the vast orbit of the Holy One together and start to see as God sees with compassionate eyes those who are yours to serve. See the children of God who are yours to care about and care for and listen to and give to and pray for and fight for and hold in your heart. People in such need are all around you. They are in your own family. They're where you work and where you go to school. They're in hospitals. They're in church. They're on the streets and in places far away we may never have been, and yet they are there hurting as people whom we are called in what ways we can to become their servants gladly and freely. And the kind of servanthood Jesus calls us to is precisely that. It is glad. It is so free and so freeing. The servanthood Jesus calls us to is not slavish. It has a voice. It uses power. It is able to say no when no is what needs to be said. And it never confuses self-giving with self-destruction. Most of all, it is freeing. It's a fantastic demotion from a throne that never fit us anyway. To slip out from under the crushing weight of your own messianic importance. And to find that everything's not about you after all. Isn't it wonderful? You are free to walk away from the tyranny of your agenda, to go listen to somebody, to offer some encouragement, to share a meal, give some money, spend time with a child, or with somebody who's lonesome or hurting, or give yourself to a cause that promotes justice or extends compassion, shares the gospel, or with all your heart, pray for someone. Send a totally unnecessary text or email, simply offering encouragement. What a relief. And who takes care of you? Well, that is the thing about the servant community. In a servant community, everybody's time comes to be served. And your time comes to receive the care of Christ that others here and elsewhere want more than you may imagine to extend to you. Please be willing to receive it in your own mortal need. The kindness, the friendship, the encouraging support of your fellow servants in the community of Christ's servanthood. Most of all, the joy comes from embracing, encountering Christ himself again and again. Jesus has not ceased to be a servant. And so when we choose to serve, we keep running into him, resigning our thrones and loving our demotion, we awaken to his presence. For where pain is, Christ always is. And whether it's someone else is suffering that we need to extend care toward, or whether it's our own suffering that someone else needs to be a friend to us for, it will always be the Christ in us that offers the serving, and the Christ in us who is willing to receive it. That is the core of his greatness and of ours, if we will. Amen. More free than ever to open our hands, to open our hearts, to offer all that we can. This is our gladness and our great freedom. giving, be in our serving, be in our longing to live as your children by your kindness and to your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. We do just this, extending to one another, receiving from one another the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire.